thoughts of this day is already pointed toward the time in which we live, the responsibility that is connected with it. Before I ever come to this reunion, and I knew ahead that I would be one of the speakers here, some of the things that I desired to present were concerning the last days, our preparation, and our responsibility. And I hope this night that I might present these in such a way that it might install in you each a greater desire to follow Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. I've chosen for an opening scripture tonight from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I will read verses 1 through 6 before I complete it, even though I may use some side references in the interim between. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonian people. And he said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. And I really think, from the things that are written in the scriptures, from the things that have been foretold by the prophets of old, including Jesus Christ, that we are aware of tonight to a very great degree. And I want to touch upon some of those things this night. I want us to think about it. Many of these things have been brought to our mind time and time again. But again, I believe that we are aware of certain of these things. And he wouldn't even need to write unto us. And yet these things were written for our benefit today, right here tonight. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when man will least expect it. A thief comes when man is unprepared. If you knew what time the thief was coming, you would be prepared. Anyone, if you knew a thief was going to strike your house at 1 o'clock, you'd be waiting for him. But if you didn't know what time he was going to come, that night or another night, you wouldn't be waiting. And so it is with the return of the day of the Lord. It says, it shall be as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, and that is being said today upon the face of our earth, various nations are trying to think that they can solve and evolve peace and cause it to be a reality. Even our nation, many of our leaders in responsible places feel that way. But listen to what Paul of old said. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So I've chosen some of these things tonight to point our minds to a certain course, to channel our thoughts along a certain way. But ye, brethren, as he spoke to them of old, and as I speak to you tonight, brothers and sisters, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know the time. You will not know the exact hour, because only the Father in heaven knows that. But when certain things take place, you will know it is nigh, even at the door. And some of these very things this night I plan to touch upon. There isn't time to touch upon them all, even though my brother gave me a lot of latitude. That wouldn't even be enough, the latitude he gave me, and I don't wish to scare anybody. Ye are all the children of light. And that's why he told them here to start with. He says, ye are not in darkness. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Now before I read verse 6, I want to digress a bit and take up another scripture or two. One is found. Now this year, I want us to keep this thought in our mind. Ye are the children of light. And how do you become the children of light? Let's just read one verse of Jesus Christ in John, and it's the 8th chapter and the 12th verse. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, there is a verse of impact. There is a verse with a lot of thought within it, of responsibility. Jesus is the light of the world, and if we follow him, and there is scriptures, Jesus said, "Take up our cross daily and follow me." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. If you love me, keep my commandments. Follow me." And so it is here. If we do this, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now I would like to turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Moroni and read a related reference here from the 18th verse. "Wherefore, I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ." This is the way. Search with diligence in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. This very complex thing, this good and this evil. But we may know the way in the light of Christ. Why I said of its complexity is because that person who fell from heaven can appear as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. It is no ordinary person that we're coping with. When we cope with the powers of evil and the powers of the devil, don't ever underestimate his power and the deceptive ways he may appear unto the children of men. But here is the way. Search diligently in the light of Christ that ye may know good from evil. And if ye lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And I think we each would like to be a child of Christ, from the youngest child in here to the oldest person. Now let's back up a little bit in this same reading in the 14th verse. Now I believe this is outlined clearly, and I want to try to read it in this clearness. Because this morning we heard the sermon concerning the plainness of God and the truth of God. And if you turned over a little earlier in that same chapter of 2 Nephi in the 13th chapter, Nephi said, "I glory in plainness. I speak unto men according to their understanding and their learning. And I hope tonight to speak unto you concerning your understanding and learning with the plainness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope I can carried by that power of God into the heart of each one here, that you might have that desire to follow him more closely, because we got a terrific responsibility that's been placed upon each and every one of our shoulders. A task that seems insurmountable, but with the power of God, we can triumph." Let's read here. "For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man." What did it say? "The Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ." Did you note that closely? Did you make a mental note of it? "Everything which inviteth to do good and persuade to believe in Christ." Well, let's read a little further. "Wherefore, ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God." For whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil, and believe not in Christ, and deny him, and serve not God, ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. Now the devil may appear as an angel of light, but he don't persuade men, like here, to believe in Christ. He don't invite to do good. He might appear to do good. He might have deceptive good, but it isn't an invitation to do good. And it isn't to persuade men to believe in Christ, because men who believe in Christ and follow him wouldn't be persuaded by the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. So anybody who subjects themselves unto him, do not persuade men to do good. For some of these things, when I get to preach it, I am amazed at the understanding I get as I preach them, you know. Certain thoughts come to me, a touch upon certain things that are a reality today by the deceptive power of the devil, and how he is carefully leading certain ones away by a flaxen cord till he binds them with these strong cords forever. Yes, never underestimate the power of God. Neither do you want to underestimate the power of the evil one. But thank God that his power is greater than the power of his Son, Jesus Christ. For that light of Christ can overcome all darkness. I would like to turn over now to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And as soon as I say this chapter, most, if maybe not all of you, know what it pertains to. It pertains to a prophecy of things of the last days. And I'm going to start about in part of the third verse, and I'm going to read down through about 13, and I'm going to read here and there in this particular chapter before I complete what I have tonight. I may go a roundabout way, but I still come back to certain things. The disciples and the apostles of Jesus came to him and said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They wanted to know. And how much more pertinent is it today? This is almost 2,000 years later. Not quite that much. And Jesus said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now that is a real statement. A statement of God. Because one of the things first mentioned here, that day preceding the second coming of Christ would be a day of deception. Could affect those who have even numbered themselves with the body of Christ. We know some have been deceived and led away by various means. But it was not the light of Christ. It was he who lives and works in darkness. Yes, there's many who are trying to deceive. There are many who say, yes, believe in Jesus Christ. This is the way. But not proclaiming the whole gospel of the way. The way is outlined by Jesus Christ perfectly and in plainness. Not a part is enough. It takes the whole complete thing utilized together if it's going to function correctly. Even as the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians mentioned, every part of the body of Christ is vital. The same as every part of your body is vital for it to work effectively and efficiently. And so Every part of his body is important. Every office of ministry is important. Every spiritual gift is important. The fruit of the Spirit is important. The way that Jesus Christ outlined is important. Baptism, repentance, laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost by those having authority. It is important, every bit of this. Anyway, there will be those proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, but yet not proclaiming the whole complete way. It's deception. None else but thought deception. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And as Luke mentioned it, even great earthquakes shall there be. So these things will be a reality. That these things are real. All these are what? The beginning of the sorrows. For there's even some more serious things. And I don't wish to scare anybody tonight. I just want you each to be aware of our reasonable responsibility before God. We've had a part of that already read today. Then shall he deliver you up to be afflicted, kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And like Luke said, some of you shall they cause to be killed. But in all this, a day of betrayal, even in families, it mentions some of the other rights. Brother against brother and father against children and vice versa. And even friends against friends. A day of betrayal. So how carefully we must look at this. Some have left, are missed to serve elsewhere. But yet the betrayal is on. Try to gather others to them. How careful we must be. We must walk in the light of Jesus Christ. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I didn't say a few. It said they shall deceive many. We got the way to try it. Help Jesus Christ by the spirit of discernment. Try the spirits where they are of God. Any false prophets are gone out of the world. And we can try and know if we try them in the light of Jesus Christ. What a fortunate people you and I really are. We can count our blessings for the remainder of this reunion and never run out of the blessings we receive. We're such a fortunate people to have these different things available to us. Utilize them. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's another thing that is proclaimed on a certain day. Brothers and sisters were living in a part of that day. And I wouldn't want to turn to it right now, but in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, I think the first 5 verses, it tells us about this: know that the last days, perilous times shall come. And one is that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Without natural affection. We heard a bit on that this morning of those who do not have natural affection. Those who love the creature more than the Creator. We're living in that day, brothers and sisters. It's right before our eyes. It's real. You can't shut your eyes and think it'll go away when they're open. because it is about us. But yet we're promised through the scriptures that great hope that will carry you through this veil of shadows of this time of sorrow. We can have the light of Christ with us, even though there be darkness. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I would like to turn to one now in 3 Nephi on page 645 in the book of Mormon. Starting with verse 28. That these sayings which ye shall write, these sayings of this book, let me tell you, are important. Ezekiel said, in the words of Joseph or Ephraim, that this book, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, shall be one in thine hand. So we can't put one above another. They're of equal importance, and they're vital. This book is vital, and I want to read from it, and I want to show some of the vitalness of it. That these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept, right here, we've got a part of it, and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, that through the fullness of the Gentiles, the remnant of their seed, who shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth because of their unbelief, this is the ending piece, may be brought in, or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer, a knowledge of that person who is a man of light, Jesus Christ. And then will I gather them in from the four quarters of the earth. And then will I fulfill the covenant which the Father hath made unto all the people of the house of Israel. And we know way back to Abraham, there's a marvelous covenant made to those of Israel that carries right down to our day. Most of it is yet to become a reality. It is only in a starting point. And blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me, in and of the Holy Ghost, which witness unto them of me and of the Father. The Holy Ghost can witness of Jesus Christ and the Father to them. Behold, because of their belief, that is the Gentiles, in me, saith the Father, and because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter day. Now we pinpointed another time, the latter day. And this book come forth in the latter day. It come forth a number of years ago. So we know we're living later in the timetable than when this book come forth. And it was the latter day then. Shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known unto them. But woe, saith the Father, unto the unbelieving of the Gentiles, for notwithstanding they have come forth upon the face of this land, and have scattered my people who are of the house of Israel, and my people who are of the house of Israel have been cast out from among them, and have been trodden under feet by them. This is it happened for many years, the oppression of the Indian peoples by the Gentiles. Let's skip on down to verse 34 through 39. And thus commandeth the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel. It's unfolding before our eyes. And shall reject the fullness of my gospel. And where is the fullness of my gospel? In these two books. And shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. What nation is that talking about? The great nation of the United States of America. A nation that I love dearly. But there's an everlasting decree concerning this land. Many years ago in the book of Ether, in the writings of Brother Jared and his experiences, and This land that you and I live upon was reserved for a righteous people. And also it's the everlasting decree of God that whosoever liveth here should serve the God of the land who is Jesus Christ. Or when they're right in iniquity, and it says fully right, they'll be struck off the face of the land. And then went on to say, this know, O ye Gentiles, that this is the decree. So serve the God of the land, and you'll be kept free from bondage and captivity and from all other nations, if you will, but serve Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. And our founding fathers came forth upon this nation. They founded this nation as a God-fearing people for the more part. Marvelous blessings were had by the early Puritan fathers and various others who came to this nation to settle it. Marvelous blessings. But as time has unfolded, this nation, as I said here, is really getting out. And shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. That's happening. And above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lying and of deceits. And I copied down a long time ago a little definition of deceit here. And I happened to read it today. I don't often read it. Attempt or disposition to deceive, a trick or a fraud. That's happening. Attempt or disposition to deceive. Not only does that happen by evil forces, it even happens by religious forces. Attempts to deceive, saying this is the way when it is not the way. And then it goes on and mentions mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts. I'm going to read you a little definition of priestcrafts. Priestly knowledge, skill, chiefly direct. Way to detract from the pure, simple, plain teachings of Jesus Christ. Even saying that there's other ways the Holy Ghost, other laying on of hand for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the way. You turn over to Moroni and read what he told his disciples. You shall pray the Father in mighty prayer, and after done this, you shall have power to give the Holy Ghost, and you shall give it in my name, in Jesus Christ, with the one who is doing. That is the way. There isn't any other way. There's nothing else expected of you to show that you've received the Holy Ghost. Well, yes, there's times in the Scripture, one instance in Acts, where after this they spoke in tongues. There's other times they did not. But speaking in tongues is not a necessity to having received the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongue is one of the spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts is given unto different people according to his will and purpose. And everybody don't have to have a certain gift. Some will have this and some will have others. Some might have two or three. But there is ways this done. It must be done by the power of God. Under the gift of power of the Holy Ghost. Another thing that will be rampant today, whoredoms and secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things, the 35th verse, and shall reject, reject the fullness of my gospel. Behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant which I've made unto my people, O house of Israel. And what a wonderful day we live in. That covenant will be fulfilled. There's marvelous things that we will do. And I will bring my gospel unto them. And I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you. But I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and you shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. But if the Gentiles repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And I will not suffer my people who are the house of Israel to go through among them and tread them down, saith the Father. I won't read further than that. You can do that at your own leisure. I'd like to turn over to page 148 and just read two verses. 116 and 117. But behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles, and also the Jews, both those who shall come upon this land and those who shall be upon other lands. Did you notice how involving that is? Gentile, Jew, upon this land and other land. Yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Isn't that what Christ said on a certain day? See how it hinges together, one record with another record, and all manner of abomination. So we must be aware of the abominations in this connection. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and with great noise, and with storm, and with tempest, and with a flame of devouring fire. In line with that, let me just turn for a moment to Luke, the 21st chapter, the 11th verse. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Drop right over to verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What a day we live within. You know, to many this sounds like a fearful thing. But you know, these prophets of old would have loved to have been where you are. Maybe you might like to have been back there. I don't know. But anyway, for some purpose, you and I are here. For some purpose, we are each in this room this night. And I hope tonight to install a little fire that can be fanned into a greater fire of responsibility for Jesus Christ. That we might be up and about this great responsibility of spreading this gospel and face the breadth of this earth. I would like to go back to the 24th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 and 22. Like I said, time isn't going to even allow me to touch on a lot of things that I'd love to do. For then shall be great tribulation preceding the coming of Christ. I've added that. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except, this is a very key verse. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now here, there's a whole pile of things yet to do. And yet Christ said, if I didn't shorten the time, there wouldn't be any flesh left. So he's going to even shorten the time. He isn't going to put 10 minutes in an hour, there's still going to be 60 minutes. 24 hours a day. Their years aren't going to be any shorter. But things are going to happen rapidly. A lot will happen in a very short time. And so it is. With that statement, let's read verse 14. and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. What? That sounds strange. Great responsibility. And who's going to preach that gospel of the kingdom? Those called of God and Jesus Christ, and they'll preach it with the gift and power of the Holy Ghost and the children of men. It will be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And yet it says right here, except those days should be short, no flesh should be saved. And so the days are even being short. Less time to do a great task than one would even desire to have it. Yes, there's a lot to be done. There's a gathering of Israel, the proclaiming of the gospel to the people upon this land of Israel, our Lamanite or Indian brothers. The Jews will believe in Jesus Christ and become a delightsome people once again. There's lots to be done. And I want to read a bit on page 664 in the Book of Mormon, found in the first seven verses of this particular reading. And he speaks, the 10th chapter, he speaks concerning the Gentiles, that they will repent, I will establish my church among them, and they will come into the covenant. And then he goes on down and says, they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many as the house of Israel that shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called a New Jerusalem. That has not been done. It will be done. And then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in. The Gentiles shall assist my people that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in them to the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. This is a statement by Jesus Christ, this whole thing I'm reading. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people. Yea, even the tribes which have been lost, they will be gathered in, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare the way, whereby they may come unto me, that they may call on the Father in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is. Yea, and then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations, in preparing the way whereby his people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. Great responsibility. It seems a formidable, formidable task. But now I want to go to a little different trend of things to show how God worked in the past and how tremendous things were accomplished in such a very short time. And I've chosen one here that I would like to read from the Book of Healing. An important key statement of this particular reading is to lay hold on the Word of God. This is the way it will be done. To lay hold on the Word of God. And this is found on page 550. And this is such a marvelous reading. Starts with verse 21. And it came to pass in the 49th year of the reign of the judges. I want you to keep that in mind, because all that I'm going to read about now is the 49th year of the reign of the judges, and it didn't even take all of that year to accomplish what I'm about to read about. There was continual peace established in the land. All save it were the secret combinations which Gadiant the robber had established in the more settled parts of the land, which at that time were not known unto those who were at the head of the government. Therefore they were not destroyed out of the land. And it came to pass in this same year,
I don't want to know.
There was exceeding great prosperity in the church, insomuch that there were thousands who did join themselves unto the church and were baptized under repentance. I know that sounds like a strange statement. Thousands baptized. And so great was the prosperity of the church, and so many blessings which were poured out upon the people, that even the high priests and the teachers were themselves astonished beyond measure. Even astonished the ministry beyond measure because of these marvelous blessings and the many who were united under the church of God. And it came to pass that the work of the Lord did prosper under the baptizing and uniting of the church of God many souls, yea, even tens of thousands. Now, I don't say how many, but I can just go from one ten of a thousand and come up with 10,000. But tens of thousands, I don't know how many it was. Maybe it's 100,000. Maybe it's a lot more. But that was all still in the same year. Now, here's the next two key verses. Listen closely. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will, in the sincerity of their hearts, call upon His holy name. All who in sincerity do that. Yea, we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Believing entails action, dedication. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It all goes hand in hand. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, there it is, lay hold upon the word of God. Nephi and Lehi saw that marvelous vision in which they saw the rod of iron, which is the word of God, which if we lay hold upon that rod of iron, a representation of the word of God, and press forward, we'll be able to partake of the tree of life, which is able to make one happy, which is pure above all that is pure and white above all that is white, a joyous experience, which is a representation nonetheless, but of the love of God. So we see here that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick, powerful it is, this word of God, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and snares and wiles of the devil. It's outlined pretty good, isn't it? And lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across the everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God. In the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with all their holy fathers, to go no more out. What a beautiful verse that is. With this word of God, we can overcome all the cunning and snares and wiles of the devil. The way is clear, outlined. On page 681, I want to show again how in such a short time, how the word of God flourished and what it was able to do. We can read this story. It started out in the 34th year, and the disciples of Jesus formed the church of Christ in all the lands round about. And in the third verse, in the 36th year, it says the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. It didn't take an eternity to do that. Just look at what the power of God can do with the people who dedicate their lives to Him. These people were converted unto Jesus Christ. That word did it. Is it important or is it not? Let's just turn over a little, read one more verse. And they had all things common among them. Therefore, there were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. The heavenly gift is the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is important in our individual lives. If you enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye must do. That's in 2 Nephi 14:6. There is a way. It is vital in our lives. You cannot underestimate the importance of it. 678 in this same book. We heard already a reference today a bit earlier concerning the disciples of Jesus. Three of those disciples decided they want to stay and be here for a period of time. And so I would like to start reading in this particular reading in verse 37. Because I believe here is a very significant happening to show again what three men are going to do the day we live with them. These three. And now I, Mormon, make an end of speaking concerning these things for a time. Concerning them. Behold, I was about to write the names of those who had never tasted death. They're the three disciples of Jesus, commonly called the three Nephites. By many. But the Lord forbade. Therefore I write them not, for they are hidden from the world. We know there are three of 12 names. That's about as far as we can go. But behold, I have seen them. Mormon saw them. That was quite a little different period of time. And they have ministered unto me. And behold, they will be among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles knoweth them not. They will also be among the Jews, and the Jews shall know them not. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord seeth fit in his wisdom, that they shall minister unto all the scattered tribes of Israel. They're going to minister unto all the scattered tribes of Israel, and unto all the nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, and shall bring out of them unto Jesus many souls. A lot. That their desire may be fulfilled. They had a desire to stay here as long as the world was, to bring souls unto Jesus Christ. And because of the convincing power of God which is in them. So don't underestimate the convincing power of God and what it can do. And they are as the angels of God. Nonetheless, they are as the angels of God. And if they shall pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus, they can shew themselves into whatsoever man it seemeth them good. What a terrific blessing they will be. Listen, go further here. Therefore, great and marvelous works shall be wrought by them before the great and coming day when all people must surely stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yea, even among the Gentiles shall there be a great and marvelous work brought by them before that judgment day. So it looks like they're going to do quite a work. And it's yet ahead. But it'd be much closer, maybe much closer than we realize. So I just wanted to show these things here to show what happened in just a little short time under several occasions in the Book of Mormon. And what's going to happen in the future here. When Christ says he'll shorten the time of yet he intended this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Even though it would be a day of iniquity and many things, yet this thing will be done, and it will be done by the power of God. These three will have the convincing power of God. It tells of a time in the New Jerusalem is built that the power of heaven shall come down among them. Marvelous things will transpire. Now I think of another time, and I guess I better not turn to it. I don't want to take all the latitude you offered me tonight. I've got a few more points I want to make. But this is in the days of one Gideon. Now, you know, there's part of that that I just haven't recalled to it. I must turn to it. So I guess I might as well do it. It's in the 7th chapter of the book of Judges. this is a rather marvelous story, and I think there's a part of it there that I might want to reference. We'll see as I go along. Anyway, in this particular reading, Gideon was told that by him, just a few with him, that the Israel would be delivered from the Midianites. And he wanted a sign. We know the story. He says, I'll put a fleece here. Let the ground be dry around it. And let the fleece be wet. And so in the morning, he wrung out a bowl full of water on that fleece. He says, Lord, don't be angry. I want another sign. Tonight, I want the fleece dry and all the ground wet. This morning he got up, the fleece was dry and all the ground was wet around him. He had all the signs he needed. And so we find that Gideon was told that by him that they would be delivered. And I want to read the second verse of the seventh chapter. I knew I had one verse I wanted to read. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. I knew there was some reason I wanted to bring this out, and I forgot that particular verse already. There was a great host of these people round about, down in this valley. Their camels couldn't be numbered, it said here. They were like grasshoppers. Their camels were without number, as the sand of the sea for the multitude. There was a great host of them. And it started out here that there was 32,000. The Lord said, this is too many. All those that are fearful and afraid, let them depart. 22,000. And the Lord said, still too many. 10,000 is still too many. And so we know the story how he said, that every one that lacked like a dog, let them sit here, and the others bow down and drink. Let them be set apart. And we found that only 300 did, like the one here that put the water down, they got the water in their hand and lacked. And by those 300, the Lord says, I will deliver Israel from Midianites. And the strategy was to put a trumpet in each person's hand, and to put a pitcher in the hand with a lamp inside. And we know when the watch was changed that night, that they blew the trumpets, they broke the pitchers, and here was a lamp, and every man did stand in his place around about this army of the Midianites. Let's read verses 21 and 22. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. They were scared to death. And all they're doing is just standing there. Look the way the Lord can work. And the 300 blew the trumpets. Well, usually with every trumpet man, there was might be 1,000 people or 2,000. But there wasn't anybody with them. Just one man there. And they're scared to death. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They just cutting each other up. Look the way the Lord works. So I think he's able to accomplish the task. He needs a people dedicated to the Lord. I would like to read probably about two more scriptures. One is in Luke 21. Because I believe it's fitting. I know it's fitting of our day because Christ said it's the one it would be in our day. And this is found in verse 32 through about 36. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. When you see these things being fulfilled before your eyes, it says, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What I say, lay hold upon the word of God. It will lead you through that veil of shadows. Across the Gulf of Israel. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And I think here is one of the key verses that Jesus Christ wants us to be aware of. The excesses of this life, the drunkenness of this life, and the cares of this life. And as one of the parables said, the cares of this world. And it is one of the things that's hurt more people, I think, than any one single factor. The cares of this life is affecting people in the Church of Christ. Each and every one, to a more or less degree. We must be honest with ourselves. The cares of this life are affected in our responsibility of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a missionary responsibility. We got a responsibility to proclaim this gospel in all of the world. And then Christ went on to say, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always." That is important. "That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." I'd like to read one reading from the book of Jacob, page 186, starting with verse 136. "Coming on down, great things has got to be done. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant. And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants, and they were few." Sounds a frightful task. Can be done. And the lip of Gideon did. Look what this did. Not too many did on converting. Tens of thousands in 1 year. "And the Lord of the vineyard said to them, Go and labor in the vineyard with your might." I dare say that will be the convincing power of God. "For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which shall soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them, and they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things." That is vital in all things. "And there began to be natural fruit again in the vineyard, and the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. And the wild branches began to be plucked off, to be cast away, and it did keep the root and the top thereof equal according to the strength thereof. And thus they labored with all diligence." They were dedicated to it according to the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard, even until the vat had been cast away out of the vineyard, and the Lord had preserved unto himself that the trees had become all, had became again the natural fruit, and they become like unto one